jump up and down and hope you toss me a carrot. I'm gonna keep well my vegetables cart off and sell my vegetables. I love you most of all. My favorite.
Gene Lemelin's vegetarian cookbooks, including the James Beard award-winning Quick Vegetarian Pleasures, present accessible, reliable, and flavorful vegetarian recipes. Now she returns to the cookbook shelf for the first time in more than a decade, believe it or not, with the reinvention of her first book, originally published 25 years ago as Vegetarian Pleasures, a Menu Cookbook. The new book is simply satisfying over 200 vegetarian recipes that you want to make again and again. Simply Satisfying's more than 200 seasonal recipes showcase readily available ingredients, particularly fresh vegetables, fruits, grains, and beans, as well as straightforward techniques, global influences, and of course, robust flavors. It's a great pleasure to welcome Gene Lemelin to the program. How are you?
I'm well, Joe. Nice to be here.
You know, I was, for some reason, I remember years ago, because you've been on the show several times.
Yes.
And in during the early years, you were on quite a bit. And for some reason, I had this mental block of whether it was Gene or Jeannie.
Gene.
And I remember it, and I thought it was Gene.
Yes.
And so last night, I go online, and I wanted to definitively make sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that I had it right. So I put in your name and video, and I couldn't find that, but I found an audio clip that was done by the publisher, and it's this weird robotic English voice that says, simply satisfying, Jean Emin. I said, no, I know that's not
that
it.
That didn't help. Who is that person?
No, it's bizarre. You have to check it out. It's very funny. The new book is Simply Satisfying. It's absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
It's a gorgeous, gorgeous
I'm
book.
They did
a nice job putting it together.
Lots of pictures, lots of
information. So I guess the obvious question is, what have you been doing?
I wear another hat now. I'm an English teacher at Mount Everett High School in Sheffield, Mass.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that would be a good job to have so I can cook on during the summer and keep writing cookbooks. Well, if you're involved in teaching at all, you know that the summers you're so exhausted and you need to use that time to work on curriculum. And so I didn't really continue to write like I thought I'd write. But then I got a notification from somebody. He discovered my first book at the Strand Bookstore in New York City. He was looking at different books and he saw it and fell in love with it and contacted me through the high school and said he wanted to redo the book and would I be interested. Well, initially I thought, well, what do I have to lose? You know, I love the book and I was disappointed when it went out of print 10 years ago. But then as I really went through the book, I realized I wanted to change it and update it and reconfigure it so it wasn't a menu cookbook anymore. And so really now it has a whole new life.
What I think is fascinating and makes me feel really old is that, you know, when we were first starting talking about your work and you came out with these books, you know, 15, 20 years ago. This was a new thing. You were one of the very few people doing this.
Yeah, it was new. I did have some people who had paved the way before, people like Deborah Madison and Molly Katzen who did Moosewood Cookbook and Vegetarian Epicure had come out. But it was in the beginning stages and people didn't know really what to, even now it's sometimes a little confusing, like what is a vegetarian? Are you somebody who just eats whole grains and honey and wears Birkenstock sandals? Or are you, you know, just somebody who doesn't eat meat? And it's hard to categorize sometimes.
Well, and people have different philosophies about
right,
it, whether it be
right.
vegan or vegetarian, and they have different rules and they set those for themselves. Right. But it's still very nice. What I think is cool about this book is that subtitle of recipes that you want to make again and again, mm-hmm. things that will be staples for you and for your family,
right.
things that you want to make regularly.
And that's what I've discovered, too, that so many people eat meat but want to skip it once or twice a week. And I think that's a big part of my audience. They want to diminish the amount of meat they eat, but they don't want recipes that are very unusual and with hard-to-find ingredients. So I try to really create simple recipes that are very flavorful, that are kind of more mainstream in terms of their appeal, so that my audience is, I believe, as many meat eaters as it is vegetarians.
And it's people who want to, in some cases, just as you say, a couple times a week, but to have that as part of their diet and part of the routine. The other thing that you learn in the book, obviously, is that, sure, we can label it vegetarian, and that can bring with it whatever baggage it brings with it, or can bring with it whatever freedom it brings with it. However, when you get down to the ingredients and what that allows you to do, man, it's good stuff.
Isn't it good? I mean, I think also the fact that we dip into all these ethnic cultures, that has made such a difference. For example, polenta. People now love polenta. It's a great base for a meal. So you just whip up some cornmeal and boiling water, a stock, add a Parmesan cheese, and pour that on your plate. And then on top of it, if you crumble goat cheese and some sautéed greens with garlic, that's a fabulous meal that you're not going to say, where's the meat?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so many of us, I mean, whether you have a cheese pizza or you have mushroom quiche, okay, you know, you would just order that
that's
and not
right.
even think of it as being
that's
vegetarian.
Right.
You just
that's
order
right.
it because it's really good.
It's really good, yeah.
Indonesian curried vegetable stew with coconut milk.
Yeah. Not
oh,
hard thing to do.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And beautiful. It's, you know, this bright yellow stew with flecks of red and green in it. And the ingredients are basically things you'd have on hand except for the coconut milk, but you can get it in the supermarket now.
Sure.
But what it does when it comes together with those spices and the vegetables just makes the flavors jump. It's so delicious.
Yeah, you have a lot of stews in here. There's one that I love the name just because it says fragrant vegetable stew of that not only is it beautiful to look at it because it is so colorful, and that's a wonderful thing about cooking with vegetables is that it's so colorful.
That's right.
But that fragrance.
That fragrance, and that's a vegetable stew with corn dumplings, and that's one of my favorite. Like sometimes people say, well, what are your favorite recipes in this book? And that vegetable stew is has a mixture of colorful vegetables with some tomato in it and corn and a little bit of clove, and that gives it that fragrance. And then on top of the vegetable stew, you have these pillowy corn dumplings. So it really is a satisfying meal.
This is how far I got where I went the first time in opening the book where I went, oh, deep-fried cheese-filled polenta balls.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Okay. I know. And you bite into that crispy polenta ball and this oozing cheese comes out.
Yeah.
That's good.
And also showing that all vegetarian food does not necessarily need to be healthy.
Yeah, well, okay, that's a good point because it's true. Every dinner and every dish is so perfectly healthy, you know you're going to want to cheat a little. So I include some of those dishes that are a little bit rich, but I only have them on occasion.
Right.
And that's the way it's always worked for me, Joe, I've been a vegetarian since I was 15, is that I never been like a maniac about having this perfect diet, but 80% of it maybe is perfect. And that other 20%, I allow myself a little rich dish here and there, and I think that's a good way to balance it.
What got you to that point of 15?
I think it was a movie I saw, a documentary on slaughterhouses. That did it.
Changed your life.
It changed my life because it didn't seem like, had we been starving and we didn't have food available, I would have thought, okay, well, it's us or the animals, I'll take us. But it's not like that. There's so much food available, so it just felt like I didn't need to eat meat. But, you know, had it not been for that, I probably would have been the health.
But to be 15 and to have that fortitude to be able to do that, that says a lot about you.
I have a tendency to empathize. that's pretty big in my, sometimes too much.
So the fact that, of whether it be, one of my, another favorite recipe in here that my mother always made was Indian pudding.
Oh, isn't that
good? And I love that you included that. It's a great recipe.
It's a great American recipe, traditional recipe with cornmeal, a little molasses. Yeah, that's a
yeah,
great
brown
recipe.
Brown sugar, ginger, and then vanilla.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. You need
just
the
a little contrast.
Because it sort of swims around in the, in that, the warmth of
the
it.
The warmth of that, yeah.
And then you, oh, yeah, man, that's good stuff. Especially this time of year.
Yeah.
Absolutely perfect.
Yeah. There are a lot of great things. I have pasta dishes, grain dishes. I have a great recipe for vegetarian chili where I put a little bit of bulgur in it, which is like toasted cracked wheat, and it gives you the texture of Hamburg, you know, ground meat.
Oh, yeah.
And it just makes the chili so rich and satisfying, and it's a baby. It takes 15 minutes to make.
Now, you have brought me a little treat here.
Yes.
What is this?
That is a crostini, a little toasted bread with homemade cheese spread on top, and the base of the cheese is ricotta.
Oh.
So it's lighter and has that sweet flavor to it, and it's got herbs mixed with it, so it's not as rich as eating, you know, a cream cheese-based spread, and it takes 5 minutes to make. So if you like Italian food and you like ricotta and fresh basil and garlic and...
That's amazing.
It's good, isn't it?
Mm.
Isn't that good? I've been making that as I've been traveling around for my book tour, and everybody just goes, oh.
That is so good.
And it really takes 5 minutes.
So how do you get
minutes.
that crusty?
Well...
That
okay, here's a trick I found
crostini.
Out. That crostini crusty? Okay.
Yeah.
This is a trick that I discovered, and I thought, I don't care what anybody says. This is wonderful, what I just discovered. You don't buy really high-quality French bread to make your crostini. You buy the kind of cheaper, lighter, like grinder rolls that you would never really eat for bread.
Right.
And if you slice and toast those, the crostini just dissolves in your mouth. But if you get dense sourdough bread, it's hard, too hard. So that's my secret for crostini.
Well, that's great. And then, you just get that.
I put light olive oil on both sides in the oven for 10 minutes.
And is it typically fresh, or do you let it go a little stale? Or how
no,
does
it's
that,
fresh.
It's fresh,
fresh
bread.
Yeah.
Fresh.
Just keep it in the oven until you can knock on it.
Other than
and it,
oh,
it
that's
answers
the key.
Back. It answers back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the cheese that you make for it, that's...
Just ricotta with a little Parmesan, garlic, and some fresh basil and parsley. That's it.
Garlic can save you a lot, can it?
I'm glad you're eating that, not just me.
Yeah, I know.
Smell in here.
Well, yeah, my coworkers will love me, but it's you know, it can be powerful, but it can also be subtle, can it?
It can. You don't want to overdo it.
Yeah.
You overdo it, but there's no way of getting around it. If you eat garlic, you smell like garlic. Just make sure everybody eats it with you.
Now, are you Italian?
No, French.
French. Mm-hmm. Okay. So do you see an influence in that in what you
A little,
cook because
a little,
of...
but I go to all cuisines. Like I love Asian food, I love Indian food. I've learned how to do it from a friend years ago. Actually, when I was in high school, she had traveled to India and she taught me how to heat the butter or oil in a pan, add the curried spices, not curry powder, but cumin and turmeric and cayenne and coriander. And once you have those, and it's just easy. You just throw them all together and toast them for 2 or 3 minutes, and then you start to build your curry, and that 3 minute toasting of those spices just makes them come alive. You add your vegetables and you can build from there. So I love Indian food. I do some Chinese. I like some Thai dishes. But I also love European dishes too, French and Italian. I try to balance. That's what makes it interesting.
You can find... Here we go. Now I have a cold and crostini in my throat. you can find out more information by going to jeanlemlin.com. It's G-E-A-N-N-E. I'm sorry. J-E-A-N-N-E Lemlin.com. J-E-A-N-N-E Lemlin.com. It wouldn't be so bad if I wasn't just looking at the letter and not being able to identify it.
You'd be amazed how many people do exactly what you just did.
I don't know.
Gene starts with G.
I know, but still. I'm looking at it. It's a J. And you know what? I share the same letter of my name. And still, I screwed it up. GeneLemlin.com for more information. The name of the book is Simply Satisfying. Over 200 vegetarian recipes that you want to make again and again, and the book is out, and you can find it, and it's published by The Experiment. That's a neat...
Great publishing company.
Out of New York, and TheExperimentPublishing.com, but GeneLemlin.com, and you can find out more information. An absolutely beautiful book. Congratulations on this, and I hope that more people will go out and pick it up and rediscover it. I hope more of our guests will understand that bringing appetizers is fine when they come in. And I wish you a blessed holiday season, and I thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much, Joe.
Great
Enjoyed
pleasure.
This.
Thank you. Yeah. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.